There we go. I want to preach this morning a sermon entitled The God of Life. And if you turn the Bible to the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to read from verse 1 through to 14. Familiar portion of scripture, I'm sure. Let's just pray before we start. Lord God, we just pray as we gather around your word that you speak to our hearts, that you encourage us and strengthen us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So he says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Amen. This is obviously a well-known portion of scripture here this morning. And we see the Lord showing Ezekiel this valley full of dry bones in his vision, and the Lord asked him the question, can these dry bones live? What a question to be asked. And Ezekiel wisely answers, Lord, you know. And the Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones, and God miraculously brings the bones back to life, and he reveals to Ezekiel that this represents the whole house of Israel. They'd concluded in verse 11, it says, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. However, we know that God breathed life back into those dry bones, and he promised to restore Israel. You and I, in our Christian life, there are times when we get into a rut, when we can be spiritually bone dry, when we can lose the life of God in our lives, and we can allow the enemy to gain a foothold in our life. And when we're down and when we're under pressure, we can come to a place where we believe that our hope is lost, that we're cut off. And Israel had basically given up on themselves. They'd lost sight of the God of life, hadn't they? They'd concluded they were beyond God's help. And it's easy when times are down for us to lose sight of God. You know, we draw conclusions often about ourselves that God has not drawn. We give up on ourselves when God hasn't given up on us. And all of us in our Christian life, if you've been a Christian for any number of time, we go through times of dry spells, times when God feels far away, times when nothing much seems to be changing in our lives or as a church. And it can be because of some neglect on our part, lack of prayer, weariness. We allow ourselves to get worn down. Sometimes even, God forbid, disobedience or sin. And we let the feeble arms hang down. We grow weary. We stop going forward. We stop pressing in. What we need in our lives is the life of God. We need the unction of the Spirit. We need the life of God, as it were, putting the flesh back onto our dry bones. You know, God is a God of life. Jesus said he'd come to give us life and life more abundantly. In the scriptures it says he is the life. He told us as well that if we would drink from his life, out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. Not trickles, not drips, not occasional streams, but rivers. And a river is vast, a river is powerful, a river is always flowing. And the life of God needs to flow in our lives, doesn't it? We don't want to just function this morning out of mere flesh, out of human effort, out of religion or tradition, or just having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We want to be those that walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, who are quickened by the power of God. See, in Christ we have life, eternal life. And eternal life isn't just for the sweet by and by, but we've entered into eternal life. If you're in Christ this morning, you've entered into eternal life, and we have access to that life now. We can overcome sin now. We can move in the power of God today. Jesus told us he is the life. He who has the Son has life. And you and I, we have access through the blood of Christ to that life each and every day. If we become dry and just going through the motions and falling into religion, then we need to draw from the well of life. If we're worn out, we need to draw from the well of life. If we're feeling hopeless, helpless and weak, we need to draw from the well. Because that's the only place where we're going to find renewal. It's the only place we can find hope, where we can find renewed strength and joy. We sometimes forget through time and trial that we need that life flow of God. We easily fall back into our old ways of self-effort, independence, stubborn self-reliance, or into just the daily grind of life and just coping and surviving the circumstances. But we forget that we need to draw from God. It's only God's Spirit that can sustain us. We need his power, his wisdom, his strength, his righteousness. We need to be, as it were, following the pillar of cloud by day and the fire of God by night. We need to keep in step with God's Spirit. The Bible says to be being filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-off event. We need to continue to abide in Christ. And this isn't just some nebulous concept this morning for you and I, or something that we just have to hope for. There are a number of things we can and need to attend to if we're going to keep that life of God flowing in our lives. Firstly, we need to keep our hearts and our consciences clean before God. We need to maintain a heart of repentance before God. We can't hide sin in our lives. We have to let the light of God's word reach every corner of our hearts and sweep out the dross and the grime and the dust. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God this morning. And times we all fail. We all fall into sin at times, and if we say we don't, we're liars and the truth isn't in us. But we need to come daily to God and ask him to search our heart, to show us the things that are wrong, the things that are in us that need to change, the attitudes that are carnal and fleshly, and bring them under the light of God's word. Let him cleanse us. Let him renew us. He's given us the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse our defiled consciences and sin-stained hearts. You and I are in a process of being sanctified. God is at work in our lives to make us more Christ-like. We are partakers of the divine nature. God wants to transform our minds and hearts. He wants to renew our thinking. He wants to purge us of the dross of the flesh and of sin and of selfishness. He wants to prune us, and pruning can be painful, can't it? But God wants to make us fruitful. But we need to keep our hearts clean before God if we're going to continue to have that flow of life through the Spirit. It's often said we need to keep a short list before God. It says in Scripture, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the Spirit won't flow in someone who's not willing to let go of sin. God needs clean vessels to work in. And we can only be clean if we're willing to come under the spotlight of His Word and submit to His Spirit and surrender to His will. It's vital for you and I to keep a clean heart before God this morning. David cried out, "Create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit." That should be our cry to God each and every day. Renew a right spirit within me. Because we need right attitudes, don't we? We need right motives, right thoughts, right actions. But we're not going to have these by not abiding in Christ. We need to be sitting under the discipline of God's word and His Spirit and allowing Him to change us. Secondly, we need to pray. And it might sound an obvious thing this morning, but if we do not ask, we won't receive. If the spiritual life is a body, then prayer are the lungs by which we breathe. We need to call upon God if we're going to receive His life. If we're thirsty, we get a drink. And if we're going to receive of the living water, we need to pray. How much more, it says in Scripture, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? We don't always feel like praying, do we? It doesn't always come naturally to us. It takes effort, it takes time, it's a sacrifice often. But as we begin to pray, as we begin to seek God, as we begin to call upon Him, something happens. We get that unction of the Spirit. We start to pray, but God takes over. That's how prayer should be. It should be a work of God in us and through us. How many times have you started to pray but found that it's, you know, God begins to take over? You don't always feel like praying, but as you do and as you step out in obedience, God begins to work. And that's the flow of the life of God. That's the Spirit of God at work, and that's what we need every day. In Scripture, it tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Human nature is to faint, to give in, to quit. When we don't pray, that's when we do faint. That's when we do despair. That's when we do run dry. That's when we do feel weak. That's when we do lose heart. We feel far from God, and the longer we leave it, the harder it gets, because we can't function in the Christian life without the life of God. You notice in the Gospels that Jesus often went alone regularly into the mountains alone to pray before His day began. He knew where His resource was. And I tell you, if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we? Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Thirdly, we need to keep a thankful heart before God and praise God. You know, there's something powerful about praising God. It's a verbal acknowledgement of the truth of who God is. It's a declaration to the heavenlies that God reigns, that Jesus is Lord. The Scripture speaks about entering His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and entering His courts with praise. When we want to enter into the presence of God, we need to do it with thanksgiving and praise. And verse 15 says, "Rejoice always." And verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do we want to do God's will this morning? Well, in everything give thanks. Rejoice always. That is rejoicing God. We can't always rejoice, can we, in what happens in this world. but we can rejoice in who Christ is and what he's done for us. And praise, like prayer, is a sacrifice that brings us into God's presence, and that's where the life of God is. That's where we find renewal of our spirit and strength for the battle and power over the flesh. The Bible tells us that God's given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praising God uplifts our spirit. It edifies us. It causes us to draw near to God. And Scripture says as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. And that's what we want this morning, isn't it? To draw near to God. Because that's where the life is. That's where the strength is. That's where the power is. It's not in us, is it? That's where the hope is. That's where faith and righteousness is. In the presence of the living God. Psalm 119, 164 says, seven times a day I will praise you. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. God is worthy to be praised this morning. He's worthy to be exalted. And it's just as important that we praise God as it is that we pray to God. God's given us a tongue and a voice for a reason. To declare the truth and to sing the truth. Something powerful about verbalising what you believe. And I'm not talking this morning about positive confession and all that nonsense. But we're talking about acknowledging God in what we say, in what we sing. More importantly, in what we do in our lives. Because worship, isn't it? It's not just about what comes out of our mouth. Or our heart, or emotions. It's about how we conduct our lives as well. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. Fourthly, we need to walk in the spirit. We can take our eyes off God and get diverted, and many do. And we can try to live in our own strength, and we can lose sight of the spirit of God. And just become religious like any other religious sideshow. Galatians tells us about having begun in the spirit, are you now trying to be made perfect in the flesh? Our flesh cannot do the will of God. We cannot accomplish God's will through human effort, through mere religion, or through outward displays of piety. We need to function in the spirit of God. Our faith is in Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's a work of God. Only God can keep us in his will. Our responsibility is to walk in the Spirit, to obey the word, to put faith into action, to surrender to God's word, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to let him have his way in our lives, to yield our will to his truth, to allow God to change us, to rely solely upon him. We can't save ourselves. We can't do the work of God through our effort. We need the power of God at work in us and through us. The only way we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh is by walking in the Spirit. No New Year's resolution, no meditation, no determination or resolve will work. We need God. We need his strength. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Zero, zilch. Nothing of eternal worth. Nothing that will last into eternity. Anything else that's done through our effort is wood, hay, straw and stubble. And those works are destined for the burning. The only works that will last is the work that God has done in us and through us, through his life working in us. Because it is God that works in us and through us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, it tells us in Scripture. And that's good news for me, because I'm fed up of failing in my own strength. I'm fed up of never being good enough. I need God to do something. We all do, don't we? We need God to turn those dry bones into a living army. We need God to raise us up and build us. We need God to make us fruitful. We need God to make us useful. We need God to make us profitable and fit for purpose. And we need his life. We need his power. And we need God to build his church. There's too many trying to build God's church for him instead of allowing God to build his church. And God can revive his church. He can rebuild his church. He can heal his church. But only when we allow his life to rule and reign among us. Only if we're willing and obedient. Only if we're prepared to step out in faith and lay hold of him. We can't sit on our laurels. We can't let weariness pull us down. We have to knock. We have to seek. We have to ask. Scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It takes persistence. It takes perseverance, patience and willingness. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is Christ who lives in us. The life which we now live in this body, we live by faith in the Son of God. That's what Christianity is this morning. It's not a form of words. It's not just a statement of principles or a code of conduct or man-made religion or tradition, but it's Christ living in us, the hope of glory. God dwelling in his people, working through us. We need to die to self and let God live in us. You know, religion stinks. Self-effort stinks. We want the living water. We want the bread of life. We want the grace and power of God at work amongst us. We're not going to get through by just having a motto of must try harder or more effort required. You know, we need God's life, and we can have that life today if we're willing. If we're thirsty enough. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls. You see, God wants to give us life. He wants to give us life more abundantly. He wants a people who are full of his life, who are drawing from the well of salvation. It's a supernatural work of God. And it's wonderful and it's amazing that God can dwell in us. Us weak and hopeless nobodies. God can raise us up and make us useful and give us a future and a hope. Finally, all the things that we've talked about here, prayer, praise, repentance, walking in the Spirit, all of these need us to step out in faith. As with anything, the word tells us that we first believe and then we have to do. It's not enough just to hear the word of God, but we have to put it into practice. We have to press in. And as we step out in faith, then God gets involved. Then God begins to move because God blesses obedience. As we do what God wants, he comes in and takes over. And I like that about God because when God takes over, there's no limit to what possibilities we can do. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. It says in Scripture, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. God can move in a people that are full of his life. We can see miracles, healings and the powers of God demonstrated when God is allowed to take his rightful place in our life. When the life of God is in the church, we can see God move. And that is what we want, isn't it, this morning? To be where God is, because that's where the life is, that's where Christ is, that's where hope is, that's where we find peace and fulfillment. We certainly don't find it in religion or in a backslidden place. Our hearts need to be kept right. Our mind needs constant renewing. We need to be a people who pray, a people who praise God, who follow his Spirit where it leads, trusting and obeying God. That's the Christian life, isn't it? Trusting in God and obeying God. And it's only the life of God that can sustain us. It's only by abiding in the vine that we can receive that vital sap of the Spirit of God to keep us alive in Christ. And we need the power of God in our lives, but it's up to us to reach out for it and to earnestly seek that which God has for us, to lay hold of that for which God has laid hold of us, to draw near to God. You know, the dry bones came to life. God revives his people. We can have the life of God today. The blood of Christ has made it possible. We can draw near. We have access to God. and we can receive that life of God, but only if we're willing. If we're willing to obey and trust God to do his work in us and through us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning.